Podcast World.
Alright, we're gonna hit the intro button.
Let's go.
Oh, wrong one. Wrong one.
See, sometimes in life,
folks, we're having issues. Alright, we're back. Hold.
Alright.
Yeah, that's me. But you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
We're back.
Yes, sir.
Hey, that's a different voice. I don't think they know who that is.
They don't need to know who it is. The originator.
The originator.
Part of the original cast.
Exactly. The man who created. It's the tradition. We ain't getting that segment yet, though, but you know what I'm talking about.
Absolutely.
It's Ice Willie T. Like I said, it's the Urban Sports Scene on the Eyes Rail Network. Sorry for the delay.
Life happens.
Hey, I'm a coach. I coach boys and girls from Prince George's County basketball, green belt basketball, and we had a situation, went to overtime, so I was running late. The show was supposed to start at 12 o'clock. It's what now, what, 12:38? So in essence, I'm 38 minutes.
CP time.
Exactly. I am black. I think I'm allowed that era.
CP time, man.
You know what I mean, people? You know.
CP time usually is 15 minutes late, but considering it's two of us,
yeah,
that's 30 minutes.
Exactly. So it happens. Like I said, the Urban Sports Scene on the Eyes Radio Network. I'm having a day today. Make sure you check us out on the Eyes Radio Network, which is www.eyesradio.com. Such shows on there are Run TMC with Tom Block and MC Hater, which airs Mondays from 4 to 6 p.m. Also check out Clutch Sports Radio, which airs on Thursday from 8 to 10 p.m. Check out DC Sports Chat Wednesday nights from 7 to 9 p.m. And also check out our homies, who are not with the Eyes Rail Network, but they have a very entertaining show, the Crowley and Watts Radio Podcast Show at www.crowleyandwatts.com. We are also syndicated on the internet radio station, Real People, Real Talk Radio. This site is managed by our good friends from Apple G's. Make sure you visit the site. It's www.realpeoplerealtalk.com. And all these shows, when I'm speaking of the Eyes Radio shows, they're all aired on Eastern Standard Time. So make sure you check them out.
Let's get into our tradition, the pregame, baby.
Actually, this is a topic I've wanted to talk about for a while now.
Okay.
Man Ty Tao and this fake girlfriend thing. Well, I'm going to let you start because you haven't been here for a while, so you can get the ball rolling.
I think he's a liar, total liar. I think he's been in on it. At some point, he knew about it. He's come out and he's confessed it. He said that he knew about it later on, like a couple of weeks before the national championship game, but he still continued to go on about it out of embarrassment. It just goes to show you that a lot of people this day and age, they live their life over the internet. Who would commit to a woman you've never actually met and have an internet relationship? If you're a rock star at Notre Dame, you know how many he could have been taken down on that campus?
Exactly. And the funny thing about it is, I mean, maybe I don't think anybody's really hit it correctly. Hit this topic or hit this issue. What I'm thinking, honestly, and I'm not here to knock anybody's sexual, you know, doings.
And orientation.
Exactly. But at the same time, man, he could be gay.
It's a possibility.
All that hiding, you know, to me, like you said, he's lying. Why, mm-hmm. like you said, why would you claim somebody that you really never met as your girlfriend? And they say he stays by himself or whatever. I'm not knocking anybody's hustle. I'm just saying, like, in the sports world, a lot of, you know, people, it's not accepted. It seems that it's not accepted to be a homosexual in the sports world.
But did you see the interview with Katie Couric?
No, I didn't see it.
This past Thursday, she asked him, was he homosexual?
Mm-hmm.
And he emphatically said, no, absolutely not. He's almost insulted, taken back by that question.
But then why? I mean, my thing is, then why lie about having a girlfriend? That's the first thing that anybody would really think about to me is like, all right, well, if you're lying that you have a girl, especially like you said, being an athlete, and you know how many chicks are flocking after you because you are the star player at Notre Dame.
You're an icon.
You're an icon at Notre Dame. We're talking about a first round pick.
Absolutely.
Easily, you know, probably top 10. So this individual can get any girl he wants. You don't have to make him anything.
Well, any of the easy girls. Yeah, any of the easy girls. Girls who didn't, you know, sad to say this, might not have grown up with a father. He can easily have them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He can easily have them. We call them cut buddies.
But going on from cut buddies, let's talk about the Washington Nats, who traded Michael Morris to the Seattle Mariners a couple weeks. What was it, last week?
A couple weeks ago, actually. Was it last week or a couple weeks ago? Whatever, it happened. All right, happened.
It happened, and we're talking about it.
Yeah, we're talking about it. Exactly. So, but no, I'm with you. It's a good move. I'm not a fan of the move. I think Michael Morse has a lot of ability. I know they got Denard Span and they re-signed Adam LaRoche. I personally would have let Adam LaRoche walk and keep Michael Morse. Yeah, I think Michael Morse is younger. But, you know, he's younger. He can hit. I know LaRoche had a really good year, but that's a contract year. You know what I mean? So it goes both ways.
I understand that, but you got to take into consideration LaRoche has a left-handed bat that you could put into the middle of the lineup. Also, defensively, he's probably...
Yeah, he's one of the best.
He's one of the best defensive first basemen in the league. I'll just say this. To me, because of the moves that the Braves just made, bringing in Upton to the outfield.
The Upton brothers
along with... What's his name? The other outfielder.
Jason Hayward.
The Nets, they do have a promising future, but that championship, that window for a championship may be getting smaller and smaller, so you got to go all out this year.
I kind of think, and one thing I want to say before we get, I mean, I'm not going to, before we, I go back on the Nets, I think it's pretty cool to have a all-African-American outfield. I think it's pretty cool. I don't know if anybody's really talked about it. But I really think it's a cool little thing.
Absolutely.
You got, and they're all relatively young. I mean, B.J. Upton has been in the league for a while, but still relatively young. You got his brother, Justin. You got Jason Hayward. I think it's a cool thing. I mean, if you think about the historic context of the whole thing, I think it's a pretty cool thing.
Absolutely.
To have all African-Americans in the starting outfield for an organization.
Absolutely, man. I think it's great.
Yeah, but back like Michael Morse. I think Michael Morse to me is a solid first baseman. I think he's actually above average first baseman when he plays that position. He's a good hitter. I'm interested to see what's going to happen with Adam LaRoche during. You know, he's got his money. Let's see if he continues to play at a high level. I still think he'll probably get you 26 to 30 home runs. I think he's that kind of guy. Now the average is, I want to see where the average will be, but his defense will always be the same. So I agree with you on that note. Still down the pregame. On another baseball topic, former Orioles manager Earl Weaver passed away over, I guess, the last weekend. Me being a big Oriole fan, I didn't get a chance to see Earl Weaver because he's before my time. But from what I've heard and from what many Oriole players in the past and even in the past, honestly, have stated that this guy is one of the best managers that they ever played with. Cal Ripken played with Earl Weaver. And he had his only championship with Earl Weaver. I think I would go. Earl Weaver is obviously, well, honestly, the best manager in Orioles history, and probably one of the best managers of all time. People remember Earl Weaver because of his tirades with umpires, and you know, kicking, you know, dirt on the plate and things of that sort, and berating the umpires. And, you know, he was a very charismatic individual. He will be missed in Charm City. Hopefully, the Orioles can do something with this season and show tribute to Earl Weaver. Down on the pregame also, my Hoyas today are playing Louisville. I believe that Louisville is ranked number 5 in the country. They had a big win against Notre Dame last week. So hopefully they can continue with that trend. We're missing, obviously, Whittington, but I like how Jabril Trywick is playing. Otto Porter is taking on a bigger role. I think now he's even coming into his own and being a top talent in the nation. There's rumors that he can be a lottery pick in the NBA if he came out. It's a weak draft. So he
very weak draft.
To be honest with you, if I was in his circle, I would tell him to come out. Even though I'm a big Hoyas fan, I think it would hurt the program. But if I'm in his circle, I'm coming out.
I'm not going to just say it's a weak draft. I'm just going to say overall in college basketball, there's been no consistency all season.
Would you say is the top like 5 players in college basketball?
I'm not even talking about players. I'm talking about from teams. Just, you know, everyone falling out of the top 25 rankings. Who's been at the top? Michigan's kind of stayed near the top. They're number 2 right now. So, but other than that, it'll be interesting come March. I'll just say that.
Yeah, it's gonna be hard when we do these pulls for money.
I'm going with Butler.
You going with Butler?
I'm going with Butler.
You telling people now what you going to do?
I told everybody last year I was going with Kentucky.
And did you win the money?
Nah.
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. You need to stop doing that.
It doesn't matter, man.
You know what I mean? I don't know what I'm going to go with. Obviously, my Hoyas have struggled so much, I can't pick my Hoyas to go win a national championship. It's going to be hard, honestly.
This would be one of those years that Duke just slides in.
That's what Al's going to pick there.
Just depending on their bracket. And they always get a cake bracket.
I know. They do.
They do.
I mean, I don't know what that loss to Miami.
Yeah, that was.
I don't know. That was. I don't know. Well, depending on how the season plans plays out, who the top four teams are, it's going
to
be difficult.
If you had to ask me right now, who I think I could say three teams that I think will probably be in it, being at least the elite eight.
Syracuse is one. I don't like. I'm a Hoyer fan. I'll go with
Duke, Butler, and Kansas.
So you got Butler as a game. You like Kansas?
Mm-hmm.
Can't pick Kansas. Can't stand Kansas. Can't do Kansas. It. Can't win with them. Can't do it. Won't do it.
I just think Kansas just has that. I forgot the guy's name.
The wing player.
I forgot his name off the top of my head, but he has elite talent at this point.
Well, you should never go against Rick Pitino. I would definitely have his team in the
Louisville.
I mean, every year I always
say, I can see Louisville. I can see Syracuse, but you know, like I said, that's kind of premature now. We only in January, end of January, so you know, conference play has to heat up. You know, you never know what team will go on a winning streak. So, you know, but anyway, man, we'll be back after this commercial break.
After the commercial break, we'll be back. We'll talk about the we won't go into the Super Bowl, but we'll talk about the AFC and NFC championship games, which happened a couple weeks ago. We still have to go into it because we didn't have an opportunity to talk about it. So we'll go into that. Urban Sports Center Eyes Radio. You want to say you dig?
You dig?
Deuces. Come on, man. I know it's been a while.
It's been a while, man. I told you I was on house arrest, man. You know, I forgot all this stuff. All
right, man.
You can hear the Eyes Radio Network while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free news and talk mobile app available for your smartphone. And when you download Stitcher to hear the Eyes Radio Network, you have a chance to win some money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in the App Store. Just takes a few seconds. Then during registration, hit the Where Did You Hear About Us link and enter Eyes Radio, EYESRADIO. To get automatically entered to win $100. That's right, I said it, $100. The latest episode of the show will be waiting for you in your favorites. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows too, always available to you on demand, no syncing. It's Stitcher Smart Radio. Don't forget to enter promo code EYESRADIO when you're registered. That's EYESRADIO.
Shout out to Urban Sports Team and Wally and Will. Love y'all. Appreciate y'all. Keep up the support. We'll keep the hits coming.
Yeah, we love you, Skylar. We know we love you. Big ups to you. Hoping big things happen to you in Notre Dame.
Yeah, hopefully you guys able to get that national championship this year.
Yeah, because I go down there for Skylar. I love
me too.
Skylar.
I love Skylar.
Oh my gosh, she looks so good. Actually, you seen her new boyfriend?
Nah, who?
Lower, man. And I hate light-skinned dudes, man. Swear, man. Some fake little, what's his name? It's fake little pretty Ricky-looking dude. Like, what's it? I'll be sure looking mug. Hate's in my blood, man. Hate's
don't be like blood. That, man.
Hate makes it okay. Hate makes the heart feel good, man. You never heard that statement?
Nah, I've never heard that statement. That's brand new to me.
Exactly. That's how I roll, son. That's how I roll. You know what I mean? Real world. You know what I mean? Seven strangers. True story.
You're a wild boy.
Anyway, you can listen to our show by visiting our official Urban Sports Scene website, which is www.walio.podbean.com. We're also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. And if you have any questions or comments, just email us at urbansports@eyesradio.com.
You can also listen to us on the Sports Crib Podcast Show Thursday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Just visit
www.blogtalkradio.com/WC Stiller Fan. The show is produced by West Coast Stiller Fan. That was about that time?
Yep.
All right, well, yeah, like I mentioned earlier before the break, we didn't obviously, you know, the AFC and NFC championship games already happened and occurred in like a week or week.
Yeah, everybody knows who won.
But still, we didn't get a chance to talk about it.
So that's why we're going to talk
exactly.
About it.
So you got a problem with it, you can tweet us. I don't care. We can handle our business that way.
You can deal with it.
You deal with it. But we're going to talk about it now. And it's just going to go down. All right? So anyway, Niners Falcons game. I'm not going to say you saw. I'm not going to ask you, did you see the game? Because obviously it happened. But please, give us your in-depth analysis of the game.
In-depth analysis.
Yes.
Just goes to show this Atlanta Falca team is, again, mentally weak. Shout out to Ray. I've said it all year. I've said it, and I'll continue to say it. I just don't think mentally this team has gotten over the hump.
Yeah.
You know, even though they brought in Asante Samuel, they got him for a seventh-round pick from the Eagles. A lot of people speculated that he would give that team that swagger, if you per se, or championship confidence. But once again, it didn't happen. The D-line, they can't get pressure outside of John Abraham. The linebackers are kind of small, but they're fast. Their defensive backfield can cover. But it was just a case of Colin Kaepernick. He gashed him.
Yeah, the problem with Atlanta, though, well, this season, the whole season, and it's an issue, honestly, when it comes to playoff time, is an issue for his historical. It's been a pattern of issue for all type of defenses that play in the playoffs. If you can't stop the run, it's hard to win games.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but you want to know who this Atlanta Falcons team reminds me of?
Like the Colts?
The Colts.
Exactly.
Because if you think about it, the defense is predicated on them getting a big lead, which they got against the San Francisco 49ers, so they can get the pass rush. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, they ran into a variable, which was Colin Kaepernick in that in the option.
The zone read option.
The zone read option, you know. I think what teams will find out, will start doing, what I would do anyway, is if the quarterback is going to carry out that fake, I'm going to put him on his butt.
Yeah, you just got to keep hitting the quarterback, because that's going to deter them from continually doing that play. Because the quarterback's getting hit, you don't want your quarterback being hurt, and you'll probably shy away from running the play anyway. I totally agree with you on that note. But to go back to the Niners, what it showed it for me in that game is that one thing, the Niners stayed consistent to what the game plan was, and they ran the ball. Even though they were down like 17-0, I believe, they was consistent. Like, we're still running the ball. We know Atlanta's weakness is against the run, so we're gonna still run the ball, you know. And I like how they got Vernon Davis involved. Shout out to Vernon Davis out here in DC. We got Vernon Davis involved. You saw Michael Crabtree start to be an option, because obviously everybody knows Vernon Davis is the biggest mismatch on the field. Regardless of what Crabtree's doing, you got Moss, you got Gore in the backfield, or you got Delanie Walker as the other tight end. Vernon Davis is the supreme mismatch, and there's no linebacker out there that's gonna pretty much check him with his 4.3 speed.
Absolutely. Also, it's just it goes to the mentality of the team. For you to be down 17 points and just say, their coach also, Jim Harbaugh, to say, I don't care, we're still going to continue to pound them with the ball.
Yeah.
We're just going to out physical. We're going to wear them down, and then we're going to get close in the fourth quarter, and we're going to win the game, which is exactly what they did. You know, a lot, you got to commend a man that sticks to the plan, even though in the face of adversity.
But look at the pattern. He showed the pattern by benching Alex Smith. Jim Harbaugh just showed he doesn't care what anybody thinks. He's going to do what he thinks. He's going to stick to his plan. And he made in Kaepernick's his quarterback. And that's one thing I felt guilty to myself for doubting him for benching Alex Smith and going with Kaepernick.
I never doubted.
Well, I did. You know, I'm a Harbaugh fan. You know what I mean? I like Alex Smith. I'll be honest with you. I've always been on the Alex Smith bandwagon. And I've stated that, all right, well, it's kind of messed up, you know, to bench Alex Smith when he was, you know, he was actually playing decent football, and to go with Kaepernick. Obviously, he saw something that I didn't see. He saw that Kaepernick can give them the dimension to get to this game.
Yeah.
Alex Smith last year got to the NFC Championship game, which is impressive. That's a good thing. Don't get me wrong. But Kaepernick is a guy who's now giving you an opportunity to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, and I think you made a key statement. Alex Smith, even though he played very well, but he reached a ceiling.
Yeah.
Kaepernick had a higher ceiling because he's able to throw the ball down the field, which is sent. And that's primarily, you know, the first six or seven games, how many other games Alex Smith started, that was the one dimension that was missing in their offense.
Yeah.
The downfield ability to push the ball down the field.
And back to Atlanta, you know, sad. It's a sad thing for Atlanta. That was a sad day for Atlanta because Tony Gonzalez, who to me still can play tight end at a high level, is probably going to retire. I think, you know, a lot of people are like, you should feel bad for Tony Gonzalez because he didn't get a ring. I was like, Tony Gonzalez accomplished what he needed to. He won his playoff game. He never won a playoff game.
He never
won a playoff game. I would tell folks, it's baby steps. You got to crawl before you walk.
Exactly.
You know what
I
mean?
I think the guy could probably still play at least two more years at a very high level, but that decision is up for him to make.
So don't get mad at him. Like, don't get mad at him. Don't get mad at the situation because, like, feel bad. Like, oh, I feel bad for Tony Gonzalez. Because in the grand scheme of things, he has a choice to come back.
Absolutely.
Because it's not like a guy who's done. whose skills has withered away. Tony Gonzalez is still a top five tight end in the league.
Absolutely.
So why, you know, that's on him. If he wants to quit, don't feel bad for him. I want to say quit. If he wants to retire, don't feel bad on
him. That man's made a lot of money. Has a great family.
And if he wants to come back and try to win a Super Bowl, he can do it. Atlanta is a team, to be honest with you, regardless of what we think about their mental toughness, off the talent set alone, has the potential to get to the Super Bowl and win a Super Bowl. Tony Gonzalez has it. If he feels that, you know, they have that chance, go come back.
Only thing they need to do is
show that defense. They got to show up.
They got to show up the defense, make some improvements on the offensive line.
Yeah.
And Michael Turner, bye bye.
You think I like Michael Turner? I think it's a big mistake if they get rid of Michael Turner.
Well, you need to bring in another back that can complement. Well, you got Jaquez Rogers. They want. Are you going to run him enough? Are you going to put him in situations that he could be successful?
If you want to really go with a two running back system, then go with it. I like Jaquez Rogers. I liked him in college too. I think the thing about Jaquez Rogers is that I think people are really poo pooing on Michael Turner, making it seem like his career is done.
Poo poo.
I don't want to curse.
Okay.
You know what I mean? No, I could say something else. You know, sugar honey iced tea.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? They can really sugar honey iced tea on that sounds better on Jaquez Rogers.
Hey man, whatever you choose to say, hey, man, your words.
You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to be more, you know, politically correct. But they can do that. But at the same time, I feel like Michael Turner still has a lot of stuff. He got a lot left in the tank. I think people have just made it seem as if he's done because they are more infatuated with Jaquez Rogers.
All right, well, let me retract my statement. I think he's done being a back that carries the ball 300 times.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. I do agree with that. I'm down with that. But let's go to another game. Actually, I want to say this too. Big ups to Randy Moss. I hope he gets it. I hope he goes to Super Bowl. I hope he gets to win the Super Bowl.
I don't.
Why?
I'm rooting for the Ravens.
Okay, well,
which the team we're going to talk about next? Yeah, Ravens versus Patriots.
Oh God, root for the Ravens. Of course,
I'm rooting for the Ravens.
Why? Because Ray Lewis. Feel bad for the story?
No, I don't feel bad. I don't care about the story.
All right, I was about to say because that story is overrated. To me.
Yeah, it is.
He's got a ring.
I
like Ray Lewis, and I'm a Ray Lewis fan. I don't want anybody to think I hate on Ray Lewis. I am a Ray Lewis fan, but he has a ring. So why should I feel like if he retires and loses, it's not a big deal to me?
Well, let me ask you this question. This is an interesting question. Baltimore, you know, you're literally our studio is literally 10 minutes away from Baltimore, Washington Parkway.
Oh, I was about to say, not like Baltimore. Don't say we're 10 minutes away from Baltimore.
We're 10 minutes away from the Baltimore, Washington Parkway. And those who aren't from the area, that's the connector from D.C. to Baltimore. You being a Redskins fan and the Baltimore Ravens being local, will you root for the Ravens in the Super Bowl?
I'm rooting for the Niners.
Why not?
I'm a Jim Harbaugh fan.
Well,
I love Michigan. I'm a Michigan fan. Let me ask you this.
Would you?
I'm Randy Moss. You already know about me and Randy Moss.
Yeah. Would you look down on other Redskins fans if they decided to root for the Ravens for this one week if they put on
the
black and purple?
No, it doesn't bother me. Why should it bother me? Because I'm not, again, they're not the Cowboys. Let me say this one more time. Because I think people really think that I care about Baltimore. I think you're giving Baltimore too much credit in my mind, my thought process. I don't care a damn thing about the Ravens. Like, if they won a Super Bowl, they could. It doesn't bother me. I wanted them to beat the Patriots. Like, I rooted for them against the Patriots. So, obviously, it doesn't hurt me they get to the Super Bowl. Now, if Baltimore fans want to, you know, talk trash to me, that's fine. I'll put them in their place. I keep it real with them. I'm like, you're not the Cowboys. You're not the Eagles. You're not the Giants. You are irrelevant to me.
I know we're supposed to be breaking down the game, but let me ask
you. We can be real.
But let me ask you another question. That if the Ravens win this second Super Bowl, that'll be two Super Bowls in what, 12 years?
Yeah.
12 years.
It's do you think enough.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's two Super Bowls in 12 years.
That's good.
Considering the local team here, the Washington Redskins, hasn't won a Super Bowl
in like a decade. Excuse me, 20.
Do you think a double deuce. Do you think that people will potentially start to switch sides and the Ravens will start to invade this area if they become – well, you think about it. They're the only team over the past 5 years that's made the playoffs.
If they didn't have RG3, I would agree with you. There'd be a chance. But since they have RG3 and you saw the playoff game, the one they lost, and you saw even when they get it looked grim and he was on the ground, the crowd just chanting his name like he's a wrestler. So, I mean, just be like
– what if he doesn't come back? And what if he isn't the same RG3? What if he's just – a quarterback with who can complete passes, and he doesn't have that dynamic explosiveness that made him what he was.
The injury is not that severe, as what you would think for that to happen. So
no, I'm just – I mean, we don't really know what the injury is, considering that the Washington Redskins haven't come out and thoroughly explained it and talked about it.
It's an LCL, ACL.
I mean, they haven't – but there was some meniscus injury. I've had surgery on my
I've had ACL – I had an ACL surgery – and a meniscus surgery. His surgery is not even worse than mine's. I used incorrect grammar. Mine. So I'm not sweating it at all. Believe me.
I'm just making up hype.
Adrian Pearce's injury was way worse than
his. A little bit of talk for the radio.
I feel you. Adrian Pearce's injury was worse.
We'll see.
He's not Adrian Peterson. Don't get me wrong.
No, he's not. No, absolutely not.
He shouldn't rush it. Like Adrian Peterson is a different beast. I'm just saying that it's not as severe as whoever. It's not as severe. Wow. Now, if he had tore his a PCL, meniscus, and ACL, it'd be an issue.
Then that's saying that he tore like three ligaments in his knee.
LCL and ACL. Not the PCL. If he tore his PCL, it'd be a problem. And if he tore his PCL, he probably wouldn't even play next season, at all.
James Andrews came out, he's selling a book or something, and he said that he doesn't think that Robert Griffin III will be ready to play first half of the season.
He shouldn't. I mean, I'm in no problem with that. I have no problem. And Trent Williams, man, big ups to you for getting kicked out of Pro Bowl. You hear what happened to him?
Yeah, he got beat up.
He got beat up?
Yeah.
Did he get beat up, really?
Yes, he did.
Who beat him up?
I'm going to tell you what happened. He was at a nightclub in Honolulu, Hawaii.
Yeah.
Midtown.
It's too hard.
Yeah.
Say Hawaii.
Okay, yeah. And he got into a argument with a couple of guys, and one of the guys hit him with a champagne bottle and tasered him.
Oh, he get beat up?
He got beat up.
That's not beat up. That's cheating. That's not getting beat up. Like, getting beat up is different. Like, when you use weapons and then tase somebody, that's not getting beat up.
All I got to say is Robert Griffin got to be concerned because he's supposed to protect Robert Griffin, but he can't even protect himself in the club.
That's good. I'll give you that.
You can't even protect himself in the club. So, you got to.
I'm going to say sucker dudes use weapons when they can't use their hands. That's all I'm going to say. Sucker dudes use weapons when they can't use their hands. That's all I'm saying.
I'll say this. Refuse to believe that he wasn't the aggressor.
Okay, maybe. All right. Maybe he picked on a small dude. If he picked on a small dude and the small dude was like, all right, yeah, you're Trent Williams.
Maybe Richard Sherman's friends. Maybe they found him.
Maybe they did.
Maybe Richard Sherman got him and his boys, flew out to Honolulu. They saw him in the club.
Richard Sherman, the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
So
it might be Richard Sherman, but we just speculating. We just talking, making jokes, man.
Anyway, let's get to the Ravens and Patriots. We really are not going on. But anyway, and also, Alpha Morris got snubbed again.
Yeah, they put in Doug Martin. How are you the second leading rusher in the conference?
Right. And
you lose one running back, and then you put in Doug Martin. That's wild.
Is
getting on. He's like the Rodney Dangerfield of running backs.
Yeah, because obviously they must think that it's just all about RG3 and he gets running like.
Yeah, they just must think that he's a product.
A product of the system. Yes, it's not fair. But anyways, go to the like I said, back to the Ravens and Patriots. The Ravens just so hard, man. And to me, the key thing in that game was when every wide receiver that touched the ball, like Tom Brady, like the dink and dunk. Mm-hmm. Every wide receiver who touched the ball, regardless of what they were getting smacked in the mouth. It kind of reminded me of what the Patriots did to the St. Louis Rams years ago in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even though they knew that Holt and Isaac Bruce would get their catches, they would still smack them and hit them hard, so make them let them know that we're here, and it kind of had them scared in that game. So it kind of reminds me of that. Like, that's how they slowed the Patriots down. We're like, all right, well, Wes Walker, you can catch the ball, but you're gonna take one.
They were putting some hits on them.
Yeah.
That game is always a physical game. Yeah. But one of the keys for the Ravens were they were able to exploit when Talib went out of the game.
Yeah, that's good.
When he wasn't able to be as physical with Anquan Boldin. Yeah. Anquan Boldin is a very physical receiver as it is. He isn't the fastest receiver, but he does get open. He has great hands, and he's tough across the middle. And when he went out of the game, he put a lot of pressure on the other Patriots' young DBs.
Yeah, I agree. Anquan Boldin, to me, we went out the game. Anquan Boldin, to me, and I'm always stated this, regardless of the emergence of Torrey Smith, Anquan Boldin is still the best wide receiver in Baltimore.
Absolutely.
And he just does more. Torrey Smith is just more of a deep threat. Obviously, and he's improved in catching. He has improved. But Anquan Boldin is the route runner. He's the guy who can get yards after the catch. He's the reliable one. He's the guy you got to go to.
Yeah, he
is. You know
what I mean?
And you saw what he did in the Patriots. He just made all the big plays. With Talib being out, like you said, of course. But he made all the big plays to me. He made the important plays.
All right, let's shift the talk to the Patriots a little bit.
Yeah.
Wes Welker came up short on a big 3rd-and-7 catch.
Super Bowl, like the Super Bowl?
Yeah. He's a free agent. You know, last year he was griping because he was franchised and they didn't work out a long-term contract. You think he's back next year?
Well, let me state this. It'd be important for Wes Welker to come back. For him, he needs to come back. Because once he leaves the Patriots, I am going to make a bold prediction. You will not hear Wes Welker in the light that you've heard him over the last some odd years. He needs this organization more than they need him.
No, I think both of them need each other.
I think you can make Edelman run the same things that Wes Welker runs.
But okay, you can put him in the slot and make him run the same thing, but will he be as nifty and as efficient as Wes Welker? Will he get open? You know, because Wes Welker,
those are option routes.
Yeah, they're option routes, but at the same time, it takes a lot of intelligence to run those routes. You gotta be on the same page as your quarterback. And also, you know, Wes Welker is able to find the hole in the zone defenses.
All right, let me put this away. It's going to sound mean. I think there are other – he's playing with Tom Brady. So that's a blessing over there. That's one blessing. Secondly, there are other, in my opinion, there are other slot wide receivers that can do big damage and probably can be cheaper than Wes Welker. Like you got Javon Best in Miami. I'm not saying he's not an option, but I'm saying like if they both were on the market, Wes Welker would be more expensive than Javon Best.
Oh, absolutely. Best just because of his accomplishments.
Exactly. Best to me would be more. It will be just as effective and maybe even more. Santana, I'm also the older player. To me, as a slot receiver with a Tom Brady, is very potent. He's a dangerous threat because he's versatile. He can be vicious inside and vicious outside and be good enough outside. Not say vicious, but good enough outside. He's an outside threat because he still has decent speed even at his age now. So to me, I'm just saying like Tom Brady to me is the bigger factor. Now who Tom Brady links up with and connects with on that Wes Welker level, because they have a good connection. That's the thing. They do have a very good connection. If he can link up with another slot receiver like he did with Wes Welker, it really won't be as big a hit as everybody thinks it is. Don't forget, Tom Brady was in the Patriots offense was good before Wes Welker got there.
It was, but also, did you hear about his wife's comments after the game,
about
after
Ray
the
Lewis?
Ravens? Yeah, talking about Ray Lewis.
I heard about like how these people, like he should have been, he's a murderer or something like that.
Yeah, she said you should check his Wikipedia page. He has 6 kids, 4 ex-wives. And he was an ex-murderer. Actually, she was wrong because Ray Lewis doesn't have.
He's not a murderer. Yeah,
he's not a murderer, and he doesn't have 4 ex-wives.
Yeah, so he's not a.
He does have 6 kids.
Yeah, and he likes to smash. I mean,
yeah, he likes to smash.
Yeah, he likes to get it in. And what guy doesn't? Yeah. I'm sorry.
Unprotected sex.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, it feels good.
It feels great.
It's natural.
Yeah.
All right. So
that's how we all got here.
Yeah. Yeah. So
not all of us. Some of us, you know.
Yeah, certain ways. Certain
condom ways. Broken.
Yeah, you know. Stuff like that. But still at the same time, yeah, that whole thing, you know what I have a problem with the Patriots organization. I just do, the way they do things. And you know, I mean, she's, what she said to me is irrelevant. She's wrong.
Well let me ask you this.
I have a problem with the organization though.
Let me ask you this. Just as a football player, as a man, you know, you're already in the spotlight. And I don't want to sound chauvinistic or anything like that, but can't you try to persuade your wife to not make those types of comments?
Shut up.
To put pressure on you and put, you know, make you look bad and make herself look bad and put herself in a certain light?
Oh, you mean just lay the smackdown?
I ain't gonna say lay the smackdown, but I would think that
you're talking about like be like, I anime eat the cake.
Nah, I'm not even going that far, but you just gotta have enough discretion to just say. To just keep your mouth quiet. I understand people are harping on you on Twitter. First and foremost, why are you on Twitter when you're not famous? But
no one knows you.
Exactly. Yeah. You're famous. She might be. Yeah, she's a very attractive lady.
Okay.
Or she might have been a former model or something like that. Or she might model in her spare time.
How long has she been with Wes Welker? Since he's been good?
I don't know. I'm not going to answer that question because I don't know the facts. I don't know because I see what you're trying to insinuate. You're trying to lead me down the street, and I'm not going that way. I'm turning right.
All I'm saying is that, hey, what did Ray Lewis do to you in that situation? It's not like Ray Lewis went out and talked trash about Wes Welker or anything. So for you to go out and get mad that Ray Lewis is celebrating that he's going to the Super Bowl is stupid. Obviously, I agree with you, Will. It's dumb, and Wes Welker – should have like stopped her if he had the opportunity to. Now back to the organization. My problem with the organization is that they always, you know, they're a phony organization to me. Like they are a winning organization, and that's what it is. And that's why they're a good organization, because they're a winning organization. True. What I don't like about which adjective I do not like associated with the Patriots is class. I think that is not, and it's something that's not associated with them.
Yeah, I'm not going to sit here and act like they're, you know, everyone. I don't, you know, people can say, you know, the Patriots have been on top, and when they were on top, they were happy. They gloated a little bit with their wins, but you know, at the same time, no one takes a loss good.
No one does. Oh, I'm not mad at that, but still, at the same time, like, all right, no one takes a loss good. I'm not mad with like how people take losses. No, you know what I mean? I'm not mad at that. What I'm mad about and what I have an issue with is like, all right, if you're a person that runs the score up, like seriously, and you know, and you do it and you like, you pretty much laugh at people's faces, like when it's 38 to 10 with 4 minutes left, you're still airing the ball out trying to get 45. You know me, like, you see how we coach in basketball. I'm not going to get mad if somebody runs the score up on me, because I like to run the score up too. So I'm going to go shake your hand. And be all, you know.
But he did shake Harbaugh's hand.
Man, it was a week. He wasn't trying to. He wasn't trying to. I'm gonna look at you and like, all right, dude, you got me. You know what I mean? Like, because that's how I roll.
Because I watched that game. He was the first one to come to midfield. He was looking. He waited for him. You know, and he stood there and graciously congratulated him and said that dude's, you know,
face is so.
But I will
like this. I don't want to shake. You could see it. You could see in his face. Well, you but know, nobody wants to shake it.
But Shannon Sharp did land base him after for not speaking to Steve Tasker after a loss.
That's what it was. Yeah. So I mean, it happens. You know, it is what it is. But good, big ups to the Ravens going to the Super Bowl, playing against the Harbaugh Bowl. I will talk about that probably next week. I don't want to get into that now. You know, just be happy that we decided to go into the NFC AFC Championship game. So we come back from a commercial break. Oh, excuse me. We'll be talking basketball. We'll keep talking real quick. I had to get to.
All right. Yeah. When we come back from commercial break, we'll be talking basketball, specifically the Wizards, local DC team, and we'll be talking about that catastrophe that's happened on the West Coast, known as the Lakers.
Hilarious. Urban Sports Scene on Eyes Radio
for ages.
Get it.
Deuces.
Time out. Okay, guys, Summers really had his bell rung and could have a concussion. I'm pulling him out for the game. Rodriguez, you're in for Summers.
Come on, coach. It's just a ding. I'll shake it off.
Yeah, he's tough. Plus, we need to win this to make the playoffs.
Listen, we're a team and we need to look out for each other. Concussions are serious. No game is more important than your health.
Take concussions out of play. If you're a coach, know the warning signs and never let athletes return to play before a healthcare professional says it's okay. A message from CDC.
See, sometimes in life, these motherfuckers take your kindness for weakness. So sometimes in life, you just gotta blow their mother faces off.
Remix! How I Gucci, how I bet at the same damn time. On the phone, cooking at the same damn time. Tell him, at the same damn time. Too bad, at the same damn time.
Turn my mic up, man.
At the same damn time.
I don't even know why motherfuckers is trying to even touch this motherfucker. You can't multitask. You can't multitask.
Hey, yo, you know you can't do the remix without me. Don't nobody talk like me.
Check it out.
Boy, your money and my money ain't the same damn kind. I can live your life and my life at the same damn time. See my riding out money, that should buy your house money. I got that, I could build a mall right by your house money. Hold up. Say you got that 550. Say I got that 550. I'm talking about them M's. All black Phantom, white seats. I killed them, bring them white sheets. Said, ooh, I think she like me, cause I got me backs like white tees.
Time and times, people, fortune, for same damn time. Double XL GQ vibes, source, same damn time.
You don't let that shit that's in your lame ass rhyme. Like Walker sleeping giant.
Oh my Gucci, oh my. And at the same damn time. Oh my. Oh, ho,
at the same
ho,
damn time.
Let it go, let it flow.
At the same damn time.
Will Wally, yo, going.
At the same damn time.
At the
damn time.
At the
damn time.
Oh, my Gucci. Oh, my.
At the same damn time.
It's the Urban Sports Scene on the Eyes Radio Network. You dig? We back at it. Well, that was a good job, man.
Yeah, I know, man.
We kind of went in on it.
Yeah, we did, man. We need to put our album up.
We should
get our
album
together,
man. You see all
I don't know why we BSing, man.
I know we need to get in, man.
We need to get our business plan to get our album
together.
Oh,
here you go with that crap. Here you go.
That's an inside joke right
there.
Yeah,
y'all don't get it. It is what it is, man. We have people who be faking on making money and making moves.
All right, but besides that, man, you can also listen to us Sunday nights on 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Apple G's radio show. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/Apple G's. Apple G's is spelled APOGEEZS. The show is hosted by Coach and the lovely Vivian. What's up, people?
Hey, I miss you guys, man. I will be on the show eventually down the line. I haven't been on the last couple of weeks, man. It's actually been a while. It's been more than a couple of weeks. But still, I'll be back on there. Like I said, I miss you guys, and we'll talk that college basketball stuff. It's college basketball season, so we'll be talking about that. Hopefully, go ahead.
Speaking of college basketball, I just wanted to give an update on the Hoyas-Louisville game. Number 5, Louisville is up by 2, 37-35 over the Georgetown Hoyas. 15 minutes and 52 seconds left in the second half.
They ain't playing defense. Hoy still playing defense. All right, what's up? And it's at the Verizon Center, right?
Yes.
All right, cool. Cool. Anyway, it's Wizards. Let's talk some Wizards basketball. Wizards have been real successful with John Wall being back.
Yeah, they just came off a win last night against Minnesota in the Verizon Center. I believe the score was 114-101. John Wall, I've always stated that the NBA, people say it's a big – to be successful, you got to have a big man. No, you don't. Not the way basketball is played now in the NBA. You got to have an elite or superstar point guard. The Wizards have gotten their number one draft pick back. He wasn't the last year's number one draft pick, but former number one overall pick John Wall back off of last year's injury. Some may say that he has nothing to do with the success of the team, but you can't deny the record. I think they are 5-2 or 6-2 since he's been back.
Yeah, I know. Like they lost the game before they lost to the Jazz, so I think it makes them three. It's three.
Yeah, they're way better with him than they were without him, that's a fact. Bradley Beal is playing a lot better with him in the lineup, and you know, a lot of people criticize the pick of Bradley Beal, but essentially, you know, Bradley Beal and John Wall, their games complement each other. John Wall needs to dominate the ball in essence to get his points. Bradley Beal is a guy who could spot up, shoot. He could take you off of the dribble when need be, but he's better if he has a point guard that's attacking the rim, collapsing the defense, and able to kick it out.
Yeah, the main thing that John Wall brings to the table, and I think this is the thing, not just being a point guard, is that he brings confidence. You know what I mean? And to have a guy who plays at a high level, who's a supreme talent, that also has the confidence and believes in himself and believes in his ability, that just goes on everybody else. Everybody absorbs it and they feel it, and the team as a whole plays better. And that's what I think he brings to Wizards. It's not just his talent set, it's just the confidence he brings to him.
Also, he's also this year, it's not a track meet for him this year. In previous years, he would get the outlet pass and he would try to speed down, even if it was 1-on-3, and get to the bucket. This year, he's playing a lot more composed, and defensively, he's starting to use his physical talents. Yeah. The guy's 6'4", has a pretty good wingspan. And also, what was interesting, I was reading, doing some research before the show.
I did some research, dog. That's what I miss, man. Will T always did research. Go ahead.
He was actually over the summer while he was rehabbing and trying to come back from his injury. He spent a lot of time talking to Gary Payton. And as we all know, Gary Payton was one of the best defensive point guards. You know, his nickname was the Glove.
Lockdown.
He was a lockdown defender. He was one of the best defensive point guards. And actually, physically, both of them are actually the same. Gary Payton was like 6'4", I think he was 6'4", 6'5", and John Wall 6'4". He was just teaching John Wall how to become a better defensive player and play more under control and understand that not to just use your speed as your only weapon, but to use it as part of your arsenal.
And the thing about John Wall is that he's like you watch him in Kentucky, he's always been a good defender, so you know he has it in him. Obviously, you go into the NBA, it's a different game. But he still has, like you said, the ability, the tools, long arms. He has the speed. He has the footwork. And he has the mobility to stay in front of a defender. So he's obviously has everything that you want in a good defensive player. So John Wall, to me, just has it. You know what I mean? Like, to me, the guy is super talented. You know, if you really look at his stats, and I don't have it on me, but I do remember seeing, if you map up his stats over the last, his what, he's been in the league for how many years now? 3-4 years now?
Yeah.
And you break it down to any a lot of point guards within their 3-4 year span, he's actually one of the top point guards off that alone. You know what I mean?
Well, then you also have his detractors who say his field goal percentage. He's not a very good jump shooter.
Serrano isn't either, but they love the hell out of him.
Yeah. Then you also those who say he doesn't make the talent around him better. But I'll just say this: the Washington Wizards don't have a lot of talent.
Yeah, and look what's going on now. I mean, to be honest with you, I think that they're better suited. They're a more talented team than they were in yesteryear. What I mean by that is that Nene's a good ball player. Serafin is still
continues to develop.
Yeah, to improve.
And that Jan Vesely, baby.
Oh, he's just horrible. I would never put him in that list. But the signing of Webster was good. You know, Jordan Crawford, like him or not, and I tell people this, some people don't like Jordan Crawford. The dude, you know, he has it. Whatever it is, and I'm not saying it as being a superstar, but it's like to make big shots. He has that it factor.
He has the confidence. He has amnesia.
Yeah.
No matter if he's going 5-for-14, he's like, well, I'm going to go 5-for-5 for my next shot.
Yeah.
He's one of those players that has the uncanny ability to just say, to forget what's going on and just let it go.
Yeah, because when I watched that Portland game, when he had that big shot, I knew he was going to get a good look. And I knew there was a good chance he can go in because he has it. And like you said, the confidence to know that, all right, the ball is in my hand. I can make the shot. When I was watching the game, I was sitting back. I was like, all right, I know John Wall's the star of the team, but don't give him the ball. Like, and don't knock on John Wall because he's the star of the team. But I'm like, if you really want a guy who gives you a really good shot of making that shot, you go to Jordan Crawford because he just has that concentration. He has that ability, and he just has that mindset to say, okay, if I get this shot and I get a good look, I'm knocking it down. And you know what I mean? And Lord and behold, it happened. So – he's that kind of guy. So I think the talent around him has improved, and you got Bradley Beal as well. The talent around him has improved. And I think that him sitting out, he got to be smarter in the NBA game, got to see how the NBA game is. You know, sometimes sitting is a good thing. So he got to see and learn and see what mistakes his teammates made and see, okay, maybe I should do that. Now I'm focused on improving on that and becoming a better ball player. So I think in the long run, this could be good for him. And good for the Wizards. Will he save Randy Whitman's job? I don't know.
I mean, Randy Whitman, I think everyone knows that he's just a stopgap.
Yeah, for who? Sam Cassell?
I don't know.
That's the question. But anyways, let's move on. Damn, I mean, real quick, where would you rank right now, just knowing what John Wall has done, where would you rank him in terms of point guards right now in the league? Where would you put him at?
Just off the top of my head, I probably put him in the lower half of just probably outside of the top 10.
Outside of top 10?
Yeah. But I
kind of almost agree with that, honestly.
Yeah, he just has, for me, it has to be more of consistency. I know he doesn't have superior talent around him, but make the guys around you better and.
Which I think he's doing now.
Yeah, better shot selection.
Yeah, I agree with that. Better shot selection. You know, John Wall to me, let's put it this way, John Wall right now may be, like Will said, slightly. Maybe outside the top 10, slightly outside the top 10. But I will say this, the potential this kid has, though, he can be a top 5 point guard easily.
Absolutely.
Easily.
Absolutely.
Easily. I think he's on his way, too. I think this season is a good stepping stone for him to submit himself as where he's going to be next season. Though I wasn't a fan of him even playing this season because I feel like if you ain't winning and you ain't going to the playoffs, you ain't winning a championship, then why come back? You know, I'm a firm believer of winning.
He's a competitor. You know he wasn't going to stay out the whole year.
Yeah, well, I would have stayed out the whole year. And I'm a competitor, too. I don't waste my time with losers. anyway, let's go to a team that, you know, basically is known as losers right now. They play like losers.
Los Angeles Lakers. Well, they won last night against the Jazz to snap a 4-game
win. I feel you. Record-wise, losers.
Yeah.
Though, you know what I mean? But you're right. They did win last night. They won last night. And Pau Gasol is now coming off the bench. Dwight Howard is complaining. He's not getting
what
touches.
Else is new?
Yeah, what else is new? Kobe Bryant is still selfish.
To me, I think the best thing for the Lakers at this point is to get rid of Dwight Howard. Because you could look at his – prior to last night's game, when they played Memphis on Thursday night, he was complaining about a shoulder. And then it was revealed that there was nothing wrong with his shoulder. You could look from his facial expressions.
He don't want to be there.
He doesn't want to be there. Unless he's going to be the focal point of that offense.
I think – go ahead.
He doesn't want to be there. I think to compound that, Kobe Bryant, he already said that he knows that he could be hard to play with. Dwight Howard just doesn't seem like he wants to deal with Kobe Bryant at this point.
Let's just be there. All right, one thing you can see initially, honestly, even when he was there, like the dude, to me, I think his smile was phony. I thought like he really didn't want to be there. I thought he was trying to make it seem like he wanted to be there. And in all honesty, he didn't really want to be there. And I think eventually, before the trade deadline, Dwight Howard gets his wish. He'll be in Brooklyn. Brook Lopez will go to probably Minnesota, and Kevin Love will come to L.A.
You think that? Wow, you think that's how it's gonna work?
I think it's how it's gonna work down. I think because Kevin Love already made his talk, and Kevin Love had L.A. roots, and Kevin Love has already kind of pretty much said like, I don't want to be in Minnesota, and Minnesota isn't improving right now. They look like they're actually going backwards. And you'll have Kevin Love come to L.A. And he's a submissive character to Kobe. He'll be a submissive character to Kobe.
Yeah, but I understand that.
And then you'll have Brook Lopez, who'll be fine to go to Minnesota. And to me, he's just as good as Kevin Love offensively. Well, he's actually better than Kevin Love offensively.
But do you think, like, you know, just realistically speaking, Kobe may have three more years.
Dwight ain't gonna be here.
But let me ask you, do you think the Lakers can build a franchise around Kevin Love?
No, not at all. But I think that's going to be the move, though. They don't have any choice. Or Brook Lopez, whatever. You think they can build a franchise around Brook Lopez? And I like Brook Lopez. I think he's a very skilled big man. No. But Dwight ain't going to be there. You know what I mean? Dwight's not a person that wants to be there. Because Dwight, to me, like, everyone's talking about who to trade, Pau Gasol, Dwight. Like, you should trade Dwight Howard. He's the one that's not under contract.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
When he's done, he's not going to come back.
He might sign with the Clippers, but he's not going to sign with the Lakers.
Look what the Lakers are doing to him. I mean, a dude sometimes get 4 or 5 touches in the game. And, you know, obviously you can count free throws and whatever, but it's still 4 or 5 official touches in the game, which is not good for a so-called the most dominant big in the NBA. So, and it's some falls on Kobe Bryant too. And a lot, it's just funny to me. Is like, think about it. Dwight Howard is the young guy. Kobe Bryant should be trying to get him involved. But the problem is Kobe Bryant doesn't want to go back to the old Shaq Kobe Bryant thing. You got to get Dwight Howard off for quarter one, quarter two, quarter three. Kobe Bryant, you get off from quarter four. That is the recipe of how to do it. Or you have Steve Nash try to give Dwight Howard off. Kobe Bryant shouldn't really try to get Dwight Howard off. It should be Steve Nash trying to get Dwight Howard off. And then Kobe Bryant stepping up in the fourth and doing his thing like he's capable of doing.
Well, the whole season for the Lakers has been an L. You know what it kind of reminds – well, it hasn't – it's not – it's far more worse. But the year when they had Karl Malone, Gary Payton, Shaq, Kobe.
They're still a finals team.
They're still a finals team. But
that was Kobe's fault, too. That was Kobe's fault. They played Detroit in the finals. Yeah. That was Kobe's fault.
Yeah, this team kind of, because of the talent that they've assembled, they have 4 All-Stars also.
Yeah.
But 4 former All-Stars, anyway.
No, they still are typically not like that team. I know you're talking about like the that team with Malone and Payton.
Mm-hmm.
That team was different because those players really were in their twilight years in their career.
Steve Nash is in his twilight.
Yeah, Steve Nash is in his twilight.
Kobe's in his twilight.
But he's still playing at a high level. Those guys weren't playing. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like Karl Malone, it was a big difference. Like, yeah. I like Karl Malone. I mean, I don't like Karl Malone. I hate Karl Malone. But it was a big difference.
Okay.
Gary Payton, we all saw Gary Payton in Seattle. Big difference. It wasn't the same Gary Payton. This situation, Dwight Howard still relatively is still in his prime, supposedly. He's still young enough. Pau Gasol is just not getting put in the right position to be Pau Gasol because he's still the same soft dude we've seen for years now. Nothing's changed. Ain't like he was built on athleticism.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's changed. So Steve Nash, yeah, I agree, is in the twilight of his career. But Kobe Bryant is still scoring like 30. You know what I mean? It just shows me as a dude just watching basketball that people always knock, say, well, dang, they got the squad, so they should be winning. Like the Heat, they got Dwayne Wade, LeBron James. What you expect? Of course they should be winning championships. Of course they should have one of the top records in the league. Now, the funny thing about it to me is, you know, maybe because people are so pro-Kobe and pro-LA nowadays, is that this team was six to seven games under 500, or maybe 5, I'm not sure. But they're under 500 at a alarming rate. Why are people aren't talking about the Lakers in that regard, like, or start talking about players in regard? Like, say, what? Well, maybe Kobe isn't the leader that people think he is. Because I know the all-time greats. We talk about all-time great players, where Kobe has now been put into. Magic Johnson has had less talent. The year his last year in the NBA, he had James Worthy was done. Byron Scott was nothing. We had a young Vlade Divac. Eldon Campbell really got playing time. We had Tony Smith. These are players. Teagle, Sadell Threet was on the bench. These are players you probably never really heard of. Magic Johnson, in a so-called at the elder state of his career, was taking his team to the finals. You know True. What I mean? Larry Bird with a bad back was taking his team to the playoffs. You know what I mean? Dominique Wilkins by himself with nobody was taking his team to the playoffs, competing with a Larry Bird. So I'm saying, like, before you would like start saying that people are leaders and they can always take their team somewhere, look at how they can do with talent. See how they can do without talent. Let's gauge that. Because if I look at it the way how I've judged Kobe, the year that Kobe's won championships, let's not even add Shaq's, because that to me, that's different. Let's let his two championships that he's won. He's had an advantage over the league. He's had Pau Gasol, he's had Andrew Bynum, Amar Odom, and the year they beat Boston, they added Ron Artest, just because they had a problem with Paul Pierce and he couldn't check Paul Pierce. So he's always had a highly talented team to compete with other teams. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like, before we judge him on all-time greats, let's look at the situations. Let's look at the circumstances, the environment, the situations. The situation before we say, okay, he's this, then he's that, and the other.
I got you. You know what I mean? I got you. I feel you, homie.
Yeah. All right. So, anyway, I'm sick of talking about the Lakers. Obviously, they're a dying franchise right now. And I'm a Lakers fan. I grew up a Lakers fan, anybody. So, you want to know the truth. I grew up a Lakers fan, and I will become a Lakers. Excuse me. I will go back to being a Lakers fan when Kobe Bryant retires. Hopefully that happens soon.
Wow.
Yeah. Magic Johnson is my favorite player of all time. When Kobe leaves, I'm good. I'm happy. I'm kind of happy that Dwight Howard is failing, because now I don't have two punk dudes on my squad. Yeah, I said it.
Wow.
I should tweet you, Kobe. I should, and I probably will. Anyway, I've seen Kobe Bryant at the time. You know, Kobe Bryant was known as the best player in the league. Not to me, though, but a lot of people call him the best player in the league. You see Kevin Durant, what he's doing. Carmelo Anthony's balling. LeBron. Who is to you right now, the season, at this point in time, is the best player in the NBA?
The best player in the NBA
yeah.
right now?
Yeah.
I mean, everyone knows the answer is LeBron James.
Hey, some people are saying Kevin Durant. I'm just putting it out there.
You know, just because of his versatility and what he's able to do. You know, I'll say this. I do think that Kevin Durant, for my money, is still the best offensive player in the league. He's able to score with the most ease from anywhere on the court.
See that guy in New York?
Carmelo, no.
Guy in New York is dangerous, man.
Yeah, I'm a Knicks fan.
Yeah.
But, you know, just because of his size advantage, he's able to create more matchups than Carmelo. I do think that Carmelo has the most offensive moves in this repertoire.
He can score many different ways in the post and outside.
But, you know, Kevin Durant, he scores with the most ease from anywhere on the court. LeBron is by far the best player, and Melo has the best offensive arsenal.
So, okay, I hear you. I agree with all of that. Real quick, though, we didn't talk about it. We should talk about it before the show ends. All-star game, all-star selection, snubs that you didn't disagree, snubs or people you thought.
I don't agree with Kevin Garnett starting as center for the East.
That's the fans, though.
Yeah, but I think Joakim Noah should have gotten that, or Tyson Chandler.
You think so? I'll give you that. Oh, now Tyson Chandler?
Yeah.
You're a Knicks fan.
No, Tyson Chandler's been the anchor for that team.
Oh, God, I can't stand
it. I'm just telling you the truth.
Alley-oop dunker. The state of centers in the NBA sucks.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Brook Lopez should have been an All-Star. I'm pissed off he didn't make the All-Star team. My big thing is Steph Curry not making the All-Star team.
I can see.
Dave Lee made it, and Steph Curry's a better. He's the star of the team. Like, he is the team. Like, Steph Curry's the best player on that team.
Yeah, I could possibly see you making the case for him over Tony Parker.
Yeah, I mean Steph Curry and that Golden State team is winning now because Steph Curry is playing most of the season. He wasn't playing last season, and you saw what happened. They sucked.
Two reasons they winning. One, they got rid of Monte Ellis. Yeah. And two, they put the ball in Steph Curry's hand.
They do what he do. And also, they put him more of a Davidson role. You've seen Steph Curry in college. The ball is in his hand, and also when the ball is not in his hand, they're running sets for him off picks so he can do his thing. So
yeah, Mark Jackson's doing a great job out there in Golden State.
Definitely candidate for Coach of the Year. But yeah, that's my main thing. Steph Curry should be an all-star player. It's ridiculous. Maybe somebody get hurt so Steph can make it. I'm wishing injury on somebody.
Wow.
To be fair.
You're a harsh man.
I'm a realist, Will.
You're a harsh man.
Just like my man.
Well, I'll say
Alfred Morrison didn't make it. I hope somebody. It's too late now. But I wish somebody had got hurt.
But I'll say this: Kyrie Irving making it to the All-Star team is going to put a lot of pressure on John Wall because people are constantly comparing those two.
And be honest with you, it's to be usually when you're that bad of a team, you're an All-Star. You don't have an All-Star.
Yeah,
you don't. But don't get wrong though. That boy, Uncle Ruckus. It's bad. It's Uncle Ruckus, right? That's the nickname?
Yeah.
It's Uncle Ruckus?
Yeah.
That dude bad. I'm sorry. That dude bad.
Kyrie can ball.
That
Kyrie
dude bad, Irving can ball. He's even better than I thought. And I seen him in Duke. And I was like, when I knew he was good in Duke, I was like, he came back from the injury. I was like, he's kind of chubby and fat, but still scoring like 15, 20 because he was out of shape. And I was like, this dude is mean.
Let's surround him with some talent, man.
Yeah,
that team would be have a promising future.
Anyway, before we wrap up, we got some stuff to read out to you. Check us out on the Eyes Radio Network, which is www.eyesradio.com. Excuse me. To listen to the show, visit www.walio.podbeam.com. We're also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. And if you have any questions or comments, just email us at urbansports@eyesradio.com. Real quick, before we leave the show, big ups to President Barack Obama. It was a beautiful thing seeing you get your two terms, second inauguration. So I'm happy for it. Hopefully you get to do what you want and bring some respectability back to the United States of America. When it comes to politics.
I don't have nothing else to say. It's great to be back on the show. Hopefully next week I'll possibly be back for our pre-Super Bowl show special. We'll be live again next week, right?
I have no idea. Dude, I'm not doing Saturdays all the time.
Oh, okay. What about Sunday for the game?
No.
After? Oh, okay.
Dude, all right. I'm going to church. I'm going to sleep. Eat some wings probably. You know what I'm saying? Be married. Maybe see some chicks. I don't know, man.
All right, man.
Maybe go to strip club. Who knows?
Yeah. But it was great, man, being back on the mic. Had fun.
It's good. It was glad to have you back, man.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. You know, I guess that's a wrap. We'll holler at y'all next time. It's Urban Sports Scene on Eyes Radio.
Yes. You dig?
Deuces, bitches!
Oh, I missed that, man.